that had just been mown and had a rockcress border, where you spent hours under the pear tree, bent over the neck of your snow-white guitar, practicing a cranberry song, the more feverishly I hoped for an abomasum displacement or the removal of a tissue mass, so that I could spend more time near you. Listening to you start all over again when you struck the wrong string or reached for a high note with that rippling, angelic voice of yours. And then you'd fall silent for a moment, and I imagined you, red-cheeked, blowing away a lock of hair from your face, a lock that kept falling back, and oh, how beautifully you blew, like a child blowing a dandelion clock. You sang about tanks, bombs, guns, about war, and with everything I did, I thought about you. You. I thought about you when I put on a transparent orange shoulder-length glove, covered it in veterinary lubricant, slid it into the vaginal tract of a dual-purpose cow, or when I put one hand around the feet of a slippery, membrane-encased calf, tugging softly to the rhythm of the contractions, and rubbed the clammy flank of the dam reassuringly with my other hand, when I talked softly to her, sometimes reciting lines from Beckett that I'm not going to repeat here. No one really appreciates them besides you and the Black Ops, and every time I longed even more passionately for you to hover around me as I put on my green vet's coat, buttoned it up and set to work, I hoped then that you'd smile at me the way you smiled so sweetly at the wiry farmhands who sat down at the kitchen table at lunchtime behind a wall of piled-up sandwiches spread with a thick layer of butter and filled with smoke-sliced sausage. But they didn't dare make a move. You were an animal they hadn't learned about in college. You didn't have four stomachs. You had just one, which was insatiable, and had known you since you were little. I knew you through and through, even though you were too young to be desired by me, and at the same time, too spirited and impatient to be patronized or handled in a fatherly manner. And I could tell from the way you acted that you wanted to break free from parental authority, from the farm you'd grown up on, which bore the name De Hulst, after W.G. van der Hulst, the writer of Christian children's books, the only writer your father had heard of and whose entire works he'd read. He'd read them to you on good days, making you dream you were a sugared bun like in the story, wetting everyone's appetite and making them want to take a bite out of you, so that you had to protect your sugary body the whole time from the king, the sweet tooths and ants.